The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we've been doing a rebroadcast of author and famed personality, Tuvia Singer. We'll be talking about Christianity, of all topics, believe it or not. We have an eclectic sort of music. You're going to love the music we picked out for you this week, boy. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The portion of the week is me, Kate. We're probably going to talk about Hanukkah this week, as it is. Hanukkah is coming up this week. We have a dynamite Hasidic story. You want to stay all the way to the end for that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israeli Air Force jets bombed storehouses that contained surface-to-air missiles in Syria. The missiles belonged to Hezbollah. A gunman riding on the back of a motorcycle raked the Israeli embassy in Athens, Greece, with at least 54 rounds from a Kalashnikov rifle. No one was injured in the attack that occurred at 3:30 in the morning. Greece has condemned the attack. 22-year-old yeshiva student is in fair condition after being stabbed in the neck by a mentally ill person in Lubavitch World headquarters in Brooklyn. The Afro-American man was killed by police as he had tried to attack them, meaning the police. Terrorists threw acid at people waiting for a bus in South Jerusalem near Beitar. Four people suffered acid burns and were taken to the hospital. The attacker was shot in the chest and remains in serious condition at the same hospital. UAW Local 2865, serving 52,000 workers on University of California campuses, voted to support the BDS movement. That's the people who want people, you know, the university to sell all their stock with companies that are doing business with Israel. Just more than 1,100 union members voted in the election out of 52,000. The National UAW and Teamsters Union told the local that they would not support the union in any labor disputes with the University of California so long as they are engaged in activities that are fundamentally hostile to their interests, unquote. Israel passed a new law, I wish they'd do this over here, making spam phone calls to cell phones illegal. Annoying robocalls, the pre-recorded messages that are transmitted tens of thousands of times a day automatically, will be illegal unless the recipient of the call agrees to listen to its message. Offenders will be fined 1,000 shekels, which is about $250 per call. And finally, interesting enough, I'd like to follow up more on this, Walgreens removed wrapping paper from its stores that contained a swastika pattern. The wrapping paper was made by Hallmark. Hallmark was not reached for comment, and that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program. Running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. And visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live Rabbi Tuvia Singer, is the main principal of an organization called Outreach Judaism, is going to be in the Detroit area this coming week. And how are you today, Tuvia?
I'm doing really good. I'm looking forward to joining you guys in Detroit. It's going to be an exciting weekend of programs, presentations for the community, both adults and young folks.
Okay. So, tell us about Outreach Judaism, please, if you will.
Sure. We're an international organization that's devoted to confronting a very serious problem, and that's Jewish evangelism. As I'm sure many of your listeners know, there are fundamentalist Christian groups, not only Detroit, but throughout North America and the land of Israel, that target the Jewish community for conversion. Just the point should be made, and that is Detroit has a very large Roman Catholic community and liberal Christians. These people do not support Jewish evangelism. The people we're talking about are from the fundamentalist Christian community who seek to evangelize the Jews to Christianity, but they take it one step further, and that is that they portray their movement as one that is Jewish, rather than encouraging Jews to abandon their Jewish heritage or identity or faith. Their sales pitch essentially is that you could still remain Jewish and believe in Jesus as your Messiah. Uh-huh. We have some really exciting programs going to be taking place in Detroit.
Okay, so we're talking about, this is like talking against such groups as Jews for Jesus.
Absolutely.
And there are other similar groups?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, I mean, you've got, I mean, I don't want to give them advertising, but you got, you know, in Detroit, you got Beth Messiah and the Shema Yisrael. You have many messianic. These are Christian missions to the Jews. Jews for Jesus is a Baptist mission to the Jewish people. And what makes them particularly pernicious, what makes them dangerous, why they are so effective is that they blur the distinctions between Judaism and Christianity in order to lure Jews who would otherwise resist the straightforward Christian message. So they have their pastors identify themselves as rabbis. Their churches don't have crosses and don't identify them such. They call themselves synagogues, and their services are held tonight, Friday night. They're not held on Sunday morning. So it's using that, using the Jewish traditions and icons of liturgy, abandoning the non-essential Christian liturgy, they're able to sell their Christian message. Theologically, they're identical to, you know, any Christian church.
Uh-huh. Is this a problem in Israel?
Oh, my, yeah. You know, first of all, you know, the vast majority of people who visit Israel each year are Christians, not Jews, causes a surprise to many people. But there are, you know, the estimates are probably somewhere around 20,000 Israelis that have been joined into these groups. Many of them are from the former Soviet Union, whose knowledge of Hebrew, whose knowledge of the Jewish faith is weak, and they provide all kinds of services to the Jews of the former Soviet Union. So it's, you know, unfortunately, you have the oldest messianic congregation in the Middle East, in the old city of Jerusalem, dating back to 1857. So it's very prominent in throughout the land of Israel, of course.
Uh-huh. So now the modus operandi of Outreach Judaism, we're talking with Rabbi Tuvia Singer, who is going to be visiting Detroit this week. Are you more into debating those who have already become involved with Messianic Judaism, or are you more in the prevent mode of getting people not to even join, or both?
Well, you know, it takes five times as much work to get a new customer as to keep an old. I mean, education is, I think you're quite built into your question is the answer, and that is that educating people and preventive education is the most important part of our work. I do have an audio series that's available free online on outreachjudaism.org. It's extensive, so folks can plug into it to study it. This, you know, I'm here in the United States on a book tour, and we're in this book called Let's Get Biblical, Why Doesn't Judaism Accept the Christian Messiah? I explore all the verses that are used, all the texts that are used by the church to evangelize the Jewish people. In fact, this coming Thursday evening, the lecture that I'm going to be giving at at 7:30 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center on Maple Road is Jesus Was a Jew, but Can a Jew Be for Jesus? And that really launches a whole series of programs that will continue throughout Monday evening. So it is about preventative education, getting the word out there, helping people understand their own faith, and if they have a grasp of their own Judaism, their own text, no missionary will be able to rob them of a relationship with God.
Okay, now let me just ask you some basic questions, I guess, of missionizing. You mentioned before that many of the Jews in Israel are former Soviets that really don't have a whole big background in Judaism, but you said something just sort of very lighting by that they provide services for them. They provided, here it is. So what I'm led to understand, Rabbi Tovia Singer, is that the way in which people are enticed into Messianic Judaism is through the friendliness of the person who's proselytizing rather than an intellectual debate, because they don't know anything about what to debate or what to say no or yes anyway. It's more the camaraderie, the sense of wanting to belong to something, the ability, if they're supporting them in some sort of social network or social environment, social services. So how would you deal with that situation then?
Well, you're raising a very important point, and in fact, your listeners should know that in almost all cases, I'm sure there are a number of people listening to this show right now who know somebody personally got involved in this, in one of these groups. Is the person who makes that first contact with a Jew is almost invariably someone who's not Jewish, does not work for Jews for Jesus, the roommate in college, it's someone that you know, that one of your listeners work with, or it's someone who's not Jewish, and therefore it's not offensive. We encounter Christians who are very supportive of Israel, and they were never Jewish. It's not offensive. The Jews who convert to Christianity often are, and certainly the way you combat this from beginning to end is always education. If education is not the answer, then everything we're doing is wrong. And therefore, the most vulnerable members of our community are always those who know least about the faith they're being asked to abandon. So naturally, Jewish education is always the answer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't find that young men and women who attend the day schools in Detroit join the ranks of Jews for Jesus, even if they're socially going through a difficult time of their lives. They just know way too much. And I say this to the listener, you don't want to know from me. I mean, you never want to have to call me that you lost your child to one of these groups. It's a difficult process. So Jewish education is the answer, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me tell you a story. When I was in Seattle in the early 80s, and during the 1980s in America, fraternities were on the decline, and many of the big frat houses at the University of Washington were sold to other groups. I actually was living in the Chabad house at the time. It had provided a place for rooming to provide for my educational needs. The big house on the corner was bought by an organization called Maranatha. Are you familiar with that organization?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so there's the Maranatha Student Union. And they had cute little girls that were standing on the corner and offering people to come up for coffee, which, of course, I never took advantage of. One time I was cutting across the University of Washington campus and came up past their house, and sitting on the lawn was the Maranatha Student Handbook. I went, whoa, this is going to be interesting. So I took it back to the Chabad house and started flipping. On page 2, the bottom of the page, it said, I'm quoting, not verbatim, but from what I remember, if you convince a Jew to accept Jesus, you are guaranteed a place in the world to come. And here's the kicker, though. You cannot yell at a Jew to become to become a believer. You can only do it by being his friend.
Huh.
Okay, if it sounds like news to you then too, Rabbi Singer.
Well, I actually have a messianic training manual, which I'll be showing the audience in my program in Detroit. Literally, it says a training manual on how to share the Messiah with the Jew. And in this, I mean, you're going to flip out when you hear this, but in the training manual, actually, you know, it states very clearly that there are certain things that missionaries should avoid doing when witnessing to a Jew, including using terms like Christ killer. You can't make this up. You know, and Jew boy. So,
okay.
And the other book actually has things like avoid jokes about the Jewish people. And then in parentheses it says their money, etc. Some Jewish people are very sensitive about this. It's okay for them to tell jokes about themselves, but it might be offensive for another to do it. So it is bombarding the Jewish community with love. But there is another element on it. You know, even though what I'm telling you, of course, is accurate, there is the issue of Israel, which is very complicated because, you know, right now, there, you know, people who care about Israel are very concerned about America's commitment to the Jewish state in this administration, and worried about Iran, which poses an existential threat to the state of Israel. And these evangelical Christians are very, very supportive of Israel. They're very pro-Israel. So, you know, they certainly have a relationship with the Jewish community today where they say, we love the Jewish people, we love Israel, and they are very pro-Israel for theological reasons, but they are very supportive of the Jewish state. So it's a tricky path that we have to walk with this community.
Indeed. Would you have any idea of, like, numbers, how much money is spent yearly by...
That's not too difficult, because they have to all file a 501c3. So we're talking about $400 million was spent last year on Jewish evangelism in the United States.
400 million. How many people, how many Jews do you think accepted Christianity last
very
year?
Very hard to explain. Let me explain to you why. The estimate is probably the size of the Jewish community of Philadelphia or Chicago. About 250,000 Jews have joined these groups. And that's an estimate because the missionaries will open those numbers even larger to raise more money from the churches. But based on surveys that are done every decade in the Jewish community, so the estimate's probably about 250,000 Jews that have stepped over that line.
Okay, and in smaller areas, I know in Detroit it's not that way, is there some sort of movement on the part of the Messianic Jews to become incorporated into, like, the mainstream Jewish community to get their synagogue listed on, like, say, the synagogue page in the Jewish news?
I mean, as you're listening to the show, don't shut off the radio, but if there's yellow pages there, you'll find them listed in the yellow pages under synagogues. Their members will not only belong to a Messianic congregation, but will seek to belong to a synagogue, a mainstream synagogue in your area. And, of course, the Jewish community centers, they love to join, you know, dancing groups and volunteer for all sorts of projects and programs for Israel, all ways to social network. That's how it happens. The way evangelism occurs, the way it's what you mentioned, they don't stand, you know, screaming Isaiah 53 or Isaiah 7:14 on top of their lungs. It's done through a social relationship and social networking. That's how the witnessing begins. So, and certainly to be a part of a Jewish event, dancing programs in Hebrew and taking Hebrew classes, seeking to become citizens in Israel under the law of return by converting to Judaism in the United States and then moving to the Jewish state. They seek to ensconce themselves in the Jewish community as much as possible, not only to become citizens, but it's an opportunity, a bridge, where they can share they can witness to the chosen people. So, absolutely, that's the model in which it occurs.
So there are centers of Messianic Judaism in Israel.
Oh, yeah, enormous. It's very, you know, it's Russia. There are huge messianic congregations and Christian missions to the Jews, as I mentioned, in the Old City, right outside on Jaffa Road. It's throughout the Jewish state, huge messianic congregations that are supported. But also the support comes from the United States.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay, so you're going to be in Detroit from Thursday to Monday. Thursday night, you're going to be at the JCC at 7:30.
Thursday night, yeah, there's JCC. We're going to examine, you know, what why Judaism doesn't accept the Christian Messiah. We'll explore the different Christian groups that are targeting Jewish conversion, the techniques that they use. It's a whole series of programs I'll be doing at the Young Israel over Shabbat and.
Which Young Israel is that? Southfield or do you know which Young Israel, Oak Park or Southfield?
I'll bet I do. And let me just take, it's the one on 10 Mile Road.
That's the Oak Park.
Southfield.
That's the Oak, 10 Mile Road is the Oak Park Young Israel.
All right. And so
you'll be doing Shabbos there. Okay.
Yeah.
Friday night Shabbat's own thing, yes. And go ahead. Saturday night, you doing anything?
Saturday night, we're doing a program at the Young Israel. Let's see here. Saturday night, 8 p.m., we're doing another program at the Young Israel.
Okay.
And then on Sunday at 1 o'clock, we're going to do I'm doing a presentation called Twisted Scriptures, where we're going to explore how missionaries alter, manipulate the Jewish scriptures to make them appear Christological, how they paint Jesus into the Jewish Bible. And that's going to be take place at the what's called the Shul on Maple, on 6890 Maple.
That's in West Bloomfield, yes.
Sunday.
Okay. And Monday you're gone, or Monday you have anything, too, going on?
Monday I'm doing a program for the youth at the Jewish Community Center.
Okay.
On Maple Road.
And that's being organized through the schools.
That's going to be for young folks. That's a really special program where these kids will get an insight understanding of the kind of missionaries they're going to encounter. And they're the ones who they are the prime target when they are on a university campus. I mean, that's prime hunting grounds for these missionary groups. So they need to be essentially inoculated to prepare them. And the program, I'm not going to talk about how the program is launched. It's really something very, very special. But Jewish youth, be there, because that program is going to prepare you for an encounter with the missionaries that are waiting for you at whether it's Michigan State or other campuses throughout the country.
Okay, you've written a new book. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, new book is called Let's Get Biblical. It's available on Amazon. Why doesn't Judaism accept the Christian Messiah? It's a big book. It's an encyclopedic work which goes through every text that is used by missionary groups, by the church, for, again, distinction, the fundamentalist Christian groups, and explores it and explores all the texts, whether it's the virgin birth, whether it's the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, and how these texts are ripped out of context, all the charts, the background, how words are mistranslated. I mean, this seems very strange to many people, but words are actually deliberately have been mistranslated by these missionaries in order to make them appear as though they're speaking about Jesus. So the book goes through these texts, and it's written in a way that's very easy to understand, even for someone, especially for someone who has little background. Those are folks who I really want to understand this issue. And so it's a 500-page, big hardcover that goes through all the texts, and I'll be bringing along a few of them, Amazon shipping a few of them to Detroit for the program. But it's an exhaustive work on, it's not typical of Jewish literature on Christian faith, which overall seeks to find commonality between Judaism and Christianity and is ecumenical. This is not. This is to explain why we don't accept the Christian Messiah.
Okay. Now, I just have one question about your book, and you can this is merely suppositional. We're going to have to wrap it up after this. Back in the late 70s, there was a small book that came out called You Take Jesus, I'll Take
God. You Take Jesus, I'll Take God.
Right. Okay. So I got a hold of the book. I think I still have it sitting on my shelf, and I pretty much did it cover to cover. And I was at that time in Yeshiva in Morristown. We would go to the universities and try to track Jews to Judaism. And there was next door, there was a table of Messianics. And I went and I started doing the whole business with them. And they looked at me and said, oh, you read You Take Jesus, I'll Take God. Well, this is the answer to that thing that they bring up. And this is the answer to that thing that they bring up. And this is the answer. So it seems like, is this going to then, they've got now 500 pages of material now to counterattack and make their argument stronger, Rabbi Tuvia Singer?
Well, that book was written more for youth at the time. It was sort of a pamphlet written by Samuel Levine. It wasn't an exhaustive book. This book is like what they answer and how to respond to it. This book takes you to the checkmate level. That means this book, and of course it's all the archaeology that they try to use, Dead Sea Scrolls they try to use. This takes you, not only gives you the answer, it shows you how to respond to their response. Not only that, it actually, this book quotes all the liberal Christian sources that agree with the Jewish people. So the book is exhausted. In the back of the book, there are 11 pages just of scriptural index, literally going through the entire Jewish scriptures, almost the entire New Testament. So everything, it's exhaustive. It's written so that anyone can understand it, but it's not like a pamphlet you just tuck into bed with. It's, you know, everything is there in the response, and the response of that. And I don't know the number, but it's not small. Many people, as a result of this book, have returned to the Jewish faith. And many non-Jews who have studied it in order to convert, you know, to do what you're saying. I mean, they've got the book in order to figure out how to respond to it, have become B'nai Noach and converted to Judaism. And back in, I know we're running out of time, but back in the late 90s when I came with the audio series, and I had a smaller version of the book, you know, the consequences were the reverse. The New York Times did a story about that, where people would study my material in trying to figure out how to answer it, and would convert to Judaism as a result, which wasn't the intention, but certainly was the result.
Okay, terrific. Okay, that's going to do us. Tuvia Singer from Outreach Judaism, Fighting Messianics and Evangelicals. We'll be in the greater Detroit area this coming Thursday night at the JCC, part of the book fair. And we wish you continued success.
Well, I thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to it.
Okay, take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standard of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. That interview was repeated because of a request of a regular contributor to The Jewish Hour. I'm not going to mention his name. I wouldn't think that would be fair. But he asked me about that, and rather than me going into it, I said, I remember doing this. And so we did it. We have a book review for you now. This is from Koren Publishing. This is the latest volume in the Koren Talmud. Is an English rendition of the Talmud. And just by the way, about studying Talmud, it was revealed that the most concentrated
studying of Talmud actually occurs in South Korea. The South Koreans came to Israel to find out, why is it that Jews are so smart? And they came up with the conclusion is because they study Talmud. And so they had sections of the Talmud translated into South Korean, and it is now part of the curriculum from 7th grade through high school. So, and then they think that's making them smarter. And indeed, one of the reasons why Jews do learn Talmud is to learn how to think. That's like the major reason. This subject, which is discussed in Yevamos 2, which is the edition which I have in front of me, deals with some very intricate, complicated subject matter in Jewish law. A lot of it deals with what's referred to in English as levirate marriage, which I don't know if that's really a word that people use. Ben, do you know what the word levirate marriage means? No, I didn't think so. If a person dies childless, his widow has to marry his brother. And that's called yibum, which is what Yevamos is all about. If they don't want to get married for whatever reason, then they have to do something called chalitza. And chalitza is just like this really strange ceremony. It involves taking off a shoe and spitting. It's all defined in the Bible. And all the intricacies thereof are made very, very clear in the Koran edition of the tractate of Yevamos. So you'll want to go to Koran Publishing, which their website is www.koren for Koran, pub, P-U-B for publishing.com, korenpub.com. Check it out. You can subscribe to it so they send it to you one volume at a time, or you want if it's available at amazon.com. It is available in two sizes, the larger size, the smaller size, and they have an online help that you can help. They have like little video things, which is really awesome. You want to check it out. That's the Koran Talmud, translated under the auspices of the world-renowned Rabbi Adin Stein Zaltz. Yes, indeed. And we want to thank them for sending their edition for us to review, and we hope to review more volumes in the future. Coming up for your listening pleasure, this is Dudu Fischer, Rachem Na, which means, please God, have mercy on us, send us the Messiah.
Hashem Elokeinu, Al Yisrael Amen. al Yisrael Amecha. Ve'al Yerushalayim Yerecha Rachem Na.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Hey, Shulfinman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. Time for some PSAs. Free, which are Friends of Refugees of Eastern Europe, is having a trip camp. You got nothing to do with your kids, boys and girls ages 5 to 11, from the end of the new year, December 29th through January 2nd. They will have enjoy a fun-filled week of winter camp. All kinds of trips all over the place. It's located in West Bloomfield. There are buses from Oak Park to West Bloomfield. They will take care of your kids from 10 to 4, and they can arrange for earlier and later as well. So in case your kids are jumping on your head during the time when they have off from school, you'll want to call Sippy at 248-470-6881. That's 470-6881. Or go to freeofmichigan.org. And Free of Michigan is spelled the way that it sounds. And it's not that the camp is free, but the organization is called Free. Also, this coming Tuesday night is the first night of Hanukkah. So you've got the menorah in the D, for complete with concert by Soul Farm, and the lighting. They have strolling entertainment, food, refreshments, and this is all happening between 5 to 7 on Campus Marshes Park or Plaza, whatever they call that place. Also that same night at 6 o'clock, you have a chain park. You have the High Center of Birmingham Bloomfield will be doing a public menorah lighting there. There's a public menorah lighting on the lawn of Southfield City Hall on Thursday night at 6 o'clock, also at 5:30, featuring a fire presentation. I'm not sure what a fire presentation is, but it probably goes with Hanukkah. And then next Monday night is the Chabad of West Bloomfield is doing one in Orchard Mall. They actually have things going on all the time. And you'll probably just type in the word into your computer, menorahs in Detroit, and see what comes up. There's like, you got it. Your organization having a something? Well, send it to rabbifinman.com, and we'll announce it over here. Up, free listening pleasure. This is famed Israeli recording star Zlati Razdalina and the Klezmer Jazz All-Stars. And this is a klezmer melody.
Arts Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Arts Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Arts Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Arts Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're having tons of fun. I hope you are, too. We got time for one more. Chanukah is this week, Tuesday night. So let's do something Chanukah. This is the immortal Schlockrock, My Menorah.
שעשית לבותינו בימים ההם בזמן הזה, בזמן הזה על ידי כהניך, על ידי כהניך הקדושים, הקדושים, הקדושים. מה מנורה, מה מנורה, מה מנורה, מה מנורה,
Advanced Dreidel, Jack's a Benita open, Deuce is wild, 25 cents in.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shulman, here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. The portion of the week is the portion of Miketz. It's continuing with the story of Joseph and his brother. We are not going to talk about it. Last year we talked about the connection between Miketz, the portion of the week, and the holiday of Hanukkah, which we're coming up this week, will be this week and part of next week. And if you want to hear that, go to jcastnetwork.com, and you can hear the podcast of how I connect Hanukkah to Miketz. We're just going to take some insights into the idea of Hanukkah itself. The interesting thing, there is a game which is played during Hanukkah. It's called dreidel. And what's the deal with the dreidel is it's a top. It's a manual top. It has a little stick thing at the top that you hold on and you twist it between your fingers. And if you're really cool, you can twist it so it lands upside down, you know, all kinds of stuff. And there's different letters on it. And each letter indicates something else. It's a gambling game. And people put in money, you take out money, you lose money, you get money, and we play it for, you know, chocolate coins or for latkes or some people. I've heard of some high-stakes dreidel games out there, folks. Yes, indeedy. The interesting thing is, in comparison to the holiday of Purim, we also do this spinning thing. What do? Is we have a grogger, is what it's called. It's a noisemaker. And usually what it is this thing, and at the bottom of it is there's like this stick, and you swing it around, and it makes noise. And they do that every time Haman, the antagonist in the story's name, is mentioned. Interesting thing about the difference between Hanukkah and Purim and the miracle that happened there is that Purim, it was very logical. You could explain it. You could even explain it that it wasn't even a miracle. It was all very natural. Because the impetus for the holiday of Purim came from the bottom. Mordechai the Jew got all of the children interested and excited about Judaism. They went home and interested and excited their parents. And that got God excited. And therefore, our making the noise comes from the bottom, part of the grogger. With Hanukkah, it was all from the top. It was a miracle which was divinely inspired. The people, the Jews, didn't ask for it to happen. They were willing to go whatever it was that was needed to go. They found a jar of oil. It was enough to last for one day. It lasted for 8 days, which meant that the laws of nature were stretched so that the oil burned slowly or kept on filling up again. However, it was explained how it is that this miracle occurred. It was from the top. So our dreidel game is played, is spun from the top. People ask me all the time, why is it that we don't have miracles now? And the answer is, we do have miracles all the time. Problem is that we're living in a Purim mode. They're coming from us because of us. There's not going to be another splitting of the Red Sea because there's no need to split the Red Sea. It's all up to us to recognize the divine presence in our daily lives. And Hanukkah tells us that. Anybody who can consume copious quantities of latkes and donuts and come at the other end of it and say, I'm still here, well, that's pretty miraculous too. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, It's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, www.rabbifinman.com. You'll find a way to contact me. You'll find a biography about me. You'll find archived editions of the last five shows right there if you want to listen to them. You'll find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, and Hasidic U-Story, which are missives presented by yours truly in other media than this one to entertain and educate you a little bit, hopefully. You'll also find classes, which I teach weekly, which are posted to my website. They are very in-depth, but very understandable. And the very important donations page. We're in the middle of December. Thank God, today I paid for November. And I did it with your help. And your help pretty much really put us over the top. So, it's the end of the year. We're coming to the time when you got to get your taxes in order. You want to get those charitable deductions in. Everybody's, all the people are calling you, and you're getting it on the radio. Give, give, give. Because Uncle Sam has got that cutoff date, December 31st. If you want it to count for 2014, go to the computer right now and go to RabbiFinman.com and go to donations and make your donation and help ensure that Detroit's only radio program, which has been on air for 19 years going on, will continue on into the next millennia. Don't like using internet for donating? Fine, understandable. Send your donation to, and of any amount, by the way. No donation too small, no donation too big. I once got a dollar donation. It was my smallest donation. I'm not going to tell you how big my biggest donation is, but I was very happy. Send it to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Hasidic story involves the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who commemorated his liberation from Tsarist jail in 1798, just this last week. In his city of Lyuzhna, there was a very bright kid. He was like 12. And at age 12, he was actually brilliant. At age 12, he announced that he had enough with yeshiva life, and he was going off to Germany to go learn in the high schools over there. How he got there remains a discussion not to be seen told over here. By the time he was 21, he had two doctorates and had written two heralded books, one in mathematics and one in podiatry. I don't know why those two, but they say you can't ask a question on the story. So he wanted to now go prove that the Alter Rebbe, this rabbi of this dynasty, was an antiquated old man. And he came, presented himself with waxed mustache and short coat into the court of the Alter Rebbe. And within minutes, the Alter Rebbe had gone through his two magnum opi and proved that the central point of each one was fallacious. And just basically turned the guy on his ear very quickly. The Alter Rebbe was brilliant, brilliant, beyond brilliant. So the he saw the error in his ways, and he became involved again with religion, but unfortunately shortly thereafter died. And the Alter Rebbe said that this soul was a reincarnation of Elazar ben Dodai, whose goal in life, it was a time from the Talmud 2,000 years ago, was to commit every single transgression. But he finally repented, but they still wouldn't let him in because he hadn't done anything good. But finally now, he had done good. His soul had been reincarnated. That's going to do it for us. I want to thank you for tuning in. We hope you have, we hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have an awesome Hanukkah. And we'll be back again next Sunday. Take care.
Und als man tit in Korten spielt, spielt man doch in Gehöbe.
Hi, it's Chris McCourtney of Faith Talk 1500. Well, it's finally come. Christmas Day will be here before we know it, and the presents reminding us of God's great gift of